Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
The sermon for today, the first Sunday after Trinity, I'm calling the obligation of our money, and was written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. The coming of the Trinity season means that we shall be dealing with quite a few of Jesus' parables in the Sunday Gospels. A parable is a story Jesus tells and then uses for at least two purposes. When the parables first appear, Jesus tells his disciples and us that their main purpose is to separate those who understand them from those who do not, those who get it from those who don't get it. If you don't get it, you aren't supposed to be satisfied with that, nor are you supposed to throw your hands up in despair. If you don't understand the parables, you are supposed to look for help, either from someone who does understand them or from a book written by someone who understands. What seems to be a more obvious reason for the parables, that Jesus tells these stories to make points about God that we can remember easily, is there too, of course, but it is secondary. Today's parable is sort of a first century version of St. Peter at the Pearly Gates joke. That is to say, it is not to be taken mainly as teaching about what things are like in the afterlife. The story is making other sorts of points. You've got to trust me that I get it. A pathetic beggar named Lazarus lies starving at the gate of a rich man's house. The rich man refuses to give him any food. In the next world, the beggar is in the good place called Abraham's bosom. Rich man is in the bad place, called hell. It's hot in hell, so the rich man asks Abraham to send Lazarus over with some water to cool him off. Abraham replies, "The tables are turned now. Now he has it good and you have it bad. And there is too big a gap between where you are and where we are for anybody to get across it anyway." The formerly rich man says, "If he can't help me, then please send him back to earth to my father's house so he can tell my five brothers how to escape my fate." Abraham responds, "They can learn the same message from the Bible." The formerly rich man says, "They are too busy for Bible study, but if somebody came back from the dead to talk with them, they'd get the message." Abraham gets the last word and says, "If they won't pay attention to the scriptures, they aren't going to pay attention if someone comes back from the dead either." One of the things that helps us get the parables is to look at the context in which they come up. It is often the case that a parable's message is clearer when we see what is happening and what Jesus is saying just before it and after it. In the case of the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus has just got done telling a rather difficult parable about a man who is about to be fired from his job. Before he is actually through, though, he goes to his boss's customers and reduces the amount of money they owe. The boss actually compliments him on his shrewdness, probably because the amount the bills were reduced is the amount he would have taken for himself. Jesus' point is that parable is that God gives us money on earth as a test to find out whether we will use it wisely or not. True riches come in heaven. If we can't handle the lesser riches on earth properly, how can we expect God to entrust us with heavenly riches? When we apply that insight to the rich man, Jesus' point becomes obvious. Part of using one's riches in a wise and godly way is to give some of the riches away. If the rich man's brothers had read the Hebrew Bible, they'd have known of the obligation to tithe, to give 10% of one's money away to support religion and to feed the poor. The standard of tithing persists in the New Testament as well. A person who does not at least tithe is not using his money wisely according to God's standards. And when we come to the next world, God's standards are the only ones that are going to matter. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus also underscores the point St. John makes in today's epistle. He is talking about love. He says that the love God showed us by sending Jesus into the world to die to forgive our sins obliges us to love one another. Love in the New Testament sense is acting for another person's good without calculating what you're going to get out of it yourself. Nobody told the rich man to make Lazarus his social friend. Loving Lazarus meant feeding him. The rich man just wouldn't do it, and the consequences were great. There is also a Christian twist to this very Jewish story. When Abraham says, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded," the one rose from the dead. In the immediate context, he is talking about the absurdity of sending Lazarus to the rich man's brothers. But more broadly, he is judging Israel. The fact that they did not accept Jesus as the Messiah, even after he came back from the grave, shows that they had not really understood their own scriptures. They just didn't get it. Allow me to refer you to our scriptures to conclude. The epistle to the Galatians tells us, "While we have time, let us do good unto all men, and especially unto them that are of the household of faith." While we have time. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as most justly do all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.